Let's continue reading Genesis 24, verses 10 through 28. Now, in these verses, we see Abraham's servant making the long journey to find a wife for Isaac. God answered his prayers, and the search is successful. Rebekah will become the wife of Isaac. Genesis 24, verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she hastened and let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told those of her mother's house these things. Well, once again, let's take a few background notes for this portion of Genesis 24. In verse 10, we read that Abraham's servant took 10 camels and his master's goods with him. Now, that's a lot of material. Why so much? Well, these camel loads not only contained gifts, but they were to give evidence of the wealth of Abraham and his son and heir, Isaac. Verse 10 says that he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. This would be northern Mesopotamia, as we mentioned before, the top of the Fertile Crescent. This was the area of Haran, where Abraham's relatives lived. Well, the servant didn't have to wait too long. As soon as he arrived in the area and prayed for success, Rebekah appeared on the scene. Kind of reminds us of Isaiah 65, 24, doesn't it? There God says, before they call, I will answer. Rebekah offered to water the 10 thirsty camels. Now that was no small job. Thirsty camels drink a lot of water. Well, after Rebekah watered the camels, the servant gave her a gift, as we see here in verse 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. This was a sizable gift, but obviously just a token of the wealth of Abraham and his son and heir, Isaac. The nose ring here, by the way, would be a cultural thing, as earrings were then and today. Well, so much for our background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points from this portion of Genesis 24. Now, we have three doctrinal points from this section, and they all have to do with God's guidance. This portion of Scripture certainly has something to say about how God guides his people to accomplish his will. So, doctrinal point number one, God guides the believer through specific prayers. God guides the believer through specific prayers. Abraham's servant made a specific prayer in verse 14. Let's read that again. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. God answered that prayer and guided the servant to Rebekah. Now the question that always comes up here has to do with setting out fleeces. Was Abraham's servant here setting out a fleece? And is it okay to set out fleeces? No to both questions. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to set out a fleece. Gideon did, and God answered. In fact, that's where the expression comes from, if you're hearing it for the first time, setting out a fleece. See Judges chapter 6. But when you read the account of Gideon, we see that Gideon's fleece was not a sign of a strong faith, but of a weak faith. We should walk more by faith and not by fleeces. So we could say a lot more on that topic. But I don't see Abraham's servant's request here as a fleece. It's a specific prayer request, no doubt. But I don't see it as setting out a fleece. You see, setting out a fleece is asking God to do something miraculous on your terms, like, Lord, make it rain at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon if I'm to take that job. See, that's putting out a fleece. But when you ask God to confirm your decisions on his terms, that's not putting out a fleece. The servant here, you see, is asking God to confirm his choice of a good wife for Isaac in a most logical way. He's looking for a woman who has a servant's heart and is kind and willing and able to do a good day's work. And he's asking God to show him that kind of woman for Isaac. It's not the kind of prayer request we'd make today. I don't suggest that you single men here today make that same request. But then again, you don't need a wife that's willing to water 10 camels. But see if you see the point here. To ask God to lead you to a wife, and you single women, to lead you to a husband that has a servant's heart and show you in no uncertain terms that he or she is willing to take on responsibility and work without complaining, that's not wrong or unbiblical. That's not putting out a fleece. Well, God answered that specific prayer request and confirmed his will to Abraham's servant and guided him to Rebekah. Rebekah proved that she was kind and had a servant's heart and was willing to work hard. And she was nice looking also. But you notice the servant hadn't prayed about that. But that's like a little bonus that God sends along. So there's our first doctrinal point then. God guides the believer through specific prayers. Doctrinal point number two. God guides the believer through special circumstances. God guides the believer through special circumstances. I want you to notice that in this whole operation, there are no miracles. But there are special circumstances. It wasn't by chance that Rebekah was the first woman to arrive on the scene. And it wasn't by chance, as we'll see later in the chapter, that her family was willing to let her be married to someone they did not know. That would be very unusual in this culture. And it wasn't by chance, again, as we'll see later in this chapter, that Rebekah herself said that she would go and marry a man that she had never met or even seen. These were certainly special circumstances. Certainly God was working behind the scenes to bring about these special circumstances. Well, God guides through special circumstances. God can open doors and close doors. Yes, you must be careful about making decisions based only on circumstances. You could be misled. But when the special circumstances line up with your specific prayer requests, then you're on a lot safer ground. Illustration. Recently, we sold the home that we've owned for 21 years. Since our children are all now married, we decided to downsize and move to an apartment. Our specific prayer request was that if this was God's will, that we should sell our house, move, downsize to an apartment, then the house would sell without us losing any time in our schedule of ministry. Because as you know, preparing and selling a house can take a lot of time. We did not want to lose any time serving the Lord. Notice how that prayer request was not setting out a fleece. Everybody follow? We're not asking, Lord, if we're to sell this house, may that tree drop over tomorrow or something like that. That's a fleece, right? We're asking God to confirm our decision in the most logical way. Well, the Lord confirmed our decision with some special circumstances. We actually sold the house over the phone during a 15-minute break that I had between two lectures in a seminar I was giving on decision-making of all things. The offer came through by phone. We accepted the offer. The papers were faxed over. We signed. We faxed them back. Boom. Sold. Within 15 minutes. It was almost like the Lord was saying to us, watch me. You won't have to miss a beat in the ministry. I'll sell your house in 15 minutes. And he did. And at a good price as well. That was the bonus. Listen, God guides the believer through special circumstances. And doctrinal point number three, God guides the believer through scriptural conditions. God guides the believer through scriptural conditions. Notice what the servant says in verse 27. As for me, being on the way or in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. No wonder the servant is successful. He's obedient and seeking to do God's will. He's meeting scriptural conditions. They who do the will of God are led by God. Don't expect God to lead you and guide you if you're not willing to follow him. Be obedient to his word. You want God's guidance in your life? You can have it. Are you meeting scriptural conditions? If you are, then you too will be able to say, as for me being in the way, the Lord led me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That well-known scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God guides the believer through scriptural conditions. Practical application. Let's remember to thank the Lord for his guidance. Let's remember to thank the Lord for his guidance. Look at the response of the servant in verses 26 and 27. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. The servant is thanking the Lord and worshiping the Lord for guidance. Do you remember to thank the Lord for guidance? Have you ever thanked God for guiding you to your husband or wife? Have you ever thanked the Lord for guiding you to your job? Not only thank the Lord for the job, but the way he worked it out brought you to that job. Have you ever thanked the Lord for guiding you to this church? Or do we just take these things for granted as if they happened by chance? Let's remember to thank the Lord for his guidance.